Hang on. Will Ferrell, right? Everybody recognize him. So, four keys to a happy marriage. Let me tell you where I was just wrestling. I was wrestling with what was I going to preach. And I have messages from other men that have preached. I reached out to my son-in-law's dad, Kurt Skelly, and I said, "Hey, Kurt, send me all of your, you know, marriage conference messages." And he said, "Oh, my computer crashed 2 years ago." I said, "Thanks for nothing." And so I was just trying to just see what the Lord would have me to preach. But then what I did is, so I'll tell you my simple methodology. So there's been a lot of angst with this methodology. And so I just looked up the word husbands. I looked up the word wives. I looked up the word marriage. And then I sorted through all of it, because a lot of husbands and wives references are just about the office of a husband and a wife, and doesn't give instruction. It's amazing how little instruction there's given within marriage within the Bible. And so that's where I came out with the little acronym that you'll soon see. And if you don't know what yet they all are, you'll see that tonight. But just to have a little fun, this little meme here: before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet to see who they really are. And so see what kind of temper they have, right? Now, this is awesome. The next meme is fantastic. There's been deep research, and they finally have figured out why women never choose where to go. Where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. They never choose, because the last time this happened, it didn't end well. And so girls have had a hard time choosing where to eat, because the last time they chose, they doomed all of humanity. And so that might explain it all. And then third, I just like this: a perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on each other. I feel like that's Deb and I, but maybe we don't look that old. And so we laugh at each other more than we ever have. And it just may be senility, but it's good. So my wife has gotten extremely funny. Either that or dementia is coming in on me. But just good time. I want you to enjoy this tonight. I want you to enjoy the whole concept. And so just some random thoughts before I actually jump in. Random thoughts. Is all marriages will have trouble. I know when you begin to look at marriages, if you look at Deb and I, you're like, perfect. Just kidding. But you look at somebody else's marriage and you think, they have the perfect marriage, they don't have problems. And it's one of the things, as a pastor, I can just tell you that there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. So, but be encouraged with that. Be encouraged, right? The Bible actually tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, you know, 1 Corinthians 7 says it's better to be single than married. But for most, the plan is to be married, because, you know, there's, God puts that desire in you. And if you can't overcome that desire, all right, was it driving people crazy? Now I'm going to have to kill that bug. Okay, all right, just bear with me here. I hope it doesn't, because you guys will be following this bug. I'm going to have to kill it effectively here. Ah, gone. Ew. All right, he's dead. All right, anything else? How am I doing? Clean, good. We're good. I wouldn't want that to be. Now, I beg you, if this is ever an issue, would you tell me? You better. You better. I'll flick it on you after the service if I find out. And so it's a great fear of mine. I know, more than you want to know, right? I feel a little footloose and fancy free, but you can't imagine how I grew up with some guys in high school. That was always the fear. They were all like, you know, okay. Anyway, okay, more than you wanted to know, that stupid stink bug is the fault. 1 Corinthians 7:28 says this, and God delights in marriage, right? He says, you know, but if you marry, he says this in 1 Corinthians 7:28, he says, if you marry, you haven't sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hasn't sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. And so, just understand that. That's not a negative. I mean, it's this, you'll find this all the time. It's, tension is not bad, it is simply there. Right? A degree of tension in marriage is actually one of the things that makes it better. So some of you tonight might be feeling like, man, we got the best marriage in this room because we have the most tension, right? And so there is a degree. I mean, I tell you guys this, that Deb and I, our personalities weren't different. There was two rams, and sometimes the sparks are great, and sometimes the sparks just destroy forests, right? And so it is, so don't view tension as the end of the world. Don't look at everybody else and imagine they have the perfect marriage. Now, why does all of this matter? It matters because one of the great tools of the devil is if he can get between you and your spouse, then he can limit your effectiveness for the kingdom of God. And so God has us come together as husband and wife so that we can populate the earth, but so that we can also enjoy each other, enjoy him, and there's going to be trouble because we're in this flesh. But don't make that the end of the world as well. And so then when I came up with this acronym, right? So he must increase, John 3:30, we must decrease. And John said this, you know, he, Christ, must increase and I must decrease, John the Baptist said. And it is sort of the theme. You want to have a good marriage? Then esteem others better than yourself. That would be Philippians chapter 2. You'll see that verse a little bit later. And so when I was working through this, just let me walk you through with all the scrutiny that has come. Man, you put a $25 gift card to it, man. It's just like, I saw the blood dripping from the emails. And so, you know, love is pretty easy. I thought enjoy was way easier. You guys made it, right? And we'll talk about what are the distinctions. And then submit wasn't a difficult one. I think submission to each other will be the concept. And then study, come on now, it's not that difficult. It's the whole concept of 1 Peter chapter 3, particularly verse 7, know, learn. And so I want you to understand this. Love, enjoy, submit, and study. Those are all principles that will help us be successful in honoring Christ. You see, I want to tell you the reason why God has not highlighted a lot of unique things with marriage is because if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, if you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you study to know him and make that a life's pursuit so that we would abide in Christ, then I will tell you this, your spouse will be happy. And so less is more. And so I want to encourage you with that. But just the first one is love. I gave you guys that yesterday. And so love, I don't want to just pass by this, right? It's absolutely critical, right? Let's just look at the scriptures that have these here. And the scriptures, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then Ephesians 5:33, I tell people this, I haven't said this in a long time. One of the best books I ever read about marriage it's called Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerichs. And I'll tell you his name later if you want to know how to spell it. Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerichs, and it's taken from Ephesians 5:33, which says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. I'll tell you this, and it's usually unanimous, the greatest need of a woman is to be loved. Every man in this room wants to be loved too. The greatest need of a man is to be respected. Women need to be respected too. But boy, I'll tell you, there's a great difference between love and respect. It's a great book that distinguishes the difference in men and women. But it's interesting, right? So I show you this verse in Titus 2:4. It's the only verse that somewhat indirectly commands women to love their wives. And this is talking about the older women to women to love their husbands. Man, we are in such a world that, you know, they'll be like, I think I might go to that church. No, you misunderstood me, right? We're going to love you, but don't stay as you are. Come as you are, and we'll let God change you. But Titus 2:4, this is the older women instructing the younger women. It says that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's the only verse that is an indirect verse that would seem to command women to love their husbands because of why? It's natural. It's more just the way God created women to love their husbands. We are commanded over and over and over again, love your wives, love your wives, love your wives, because God knows how difficult they are. Just kidding. But it doesn't come naturally for us. Women, they need to be respected, but they need to be loved, and we need to grasp that. I need to grasp that. I've been married for 35 years, and if Deb could schedule me to be in 43 marriage conferences a year, she would. I'm alert, right? Because you know the title of the message was going to be how to be a hypocrite, and you know because it highlights my ineptitude, my inadequacies of being a good husband. But you know what I love too? It's made me dive into the Word of God. I love some of you that said just the simple question of less, L-E-S-S. Made you dive into the Word of God. You'll benefit from that. You'll enjoy that. It's good for you, right? I probably should do something like that every week. And so it would be the best $1,000 I could ever spend if I could get you all into the Word of God enthusiastically and enjoyably, right? In a fun way. $25 gift card every week, nothing. You say that'll motivate you, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I just need to find some rich guy to fund it. No, it's all good. So look at these verses where it says love. I want you to understand this. Love your spouse. I have three thoughts. I had handouts. I could have given you handouts, but I didn't know how many copies to make. So it's this. Be irrational. What I mean by that is I want you just to see some scripture. So be irrational. You know, if you want, be radical. Be radical with your love. I'm going to show you the scriptures because the Lord Jesus Christ was radical. Look at John 13:34. You know this verse. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You've heard me preach this before. The new commandment wasn't that you love one another, but it's that you love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus loved them, right? As Jesus has loved us. He says, love one another. That's radical. That's irrational. That's crazy. That's over the top. And then Romans 5:8 just fits with that. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That doesn't make sense. And so I want to help you understand this. It is, you don't love your spouse because they deserve to be loved. You love your spouse because it honors Christ. I'll tell you this. The people that I have the most respect for have the most difficult marriages. I don't know why that works, but I could guess. They suffer daily. They're reminded daily. They feel rejected daily. And they have to pursue Christ. I've known people for decades. Nothing improves in a relationship, but their walk with Christ sure does. You think Hosea regrets being used of God in the nuttiest way in the world? Would you want to be Hosea? No way. It's like, we're breaking up. Can't hear you. What was that? I'm sorry, Lord. What was that? Let me. Why don't you call Jeremiah? Right? It's Hosea was used as an object lesson for God that he was given a horrible wife to illustrate how Israel treated God. And his life was miserable from a marriage perspective, but Hosea was a godly man. Then I say 1 Corinthians 13:4 is somewhat irrational, somewhat radical. Charity suffereth long. Charity, you know, I love the King James, that it differentiates the word love. Whenever you see charity in the King James, that's the agape love, the sacrificial giving love. Charity suffereth long. It is the principle of God is when you're married, it's one and done. And that's not to beat people up that have been divorced. You know what I'd say this? What, if you're married, then stay married. God hates all divorce. But he gives allowances for divorce and remarriage in the scriptures. But I tell you, there's not two classes of people in our church. Those that have not been divorced and those that we don't. You know, so people may not agree with me. We make decisions as a church. I don't believe you're disqualified from becoming a deacon or a pastor if you've been divorced. I respect churches that hold to that position. I am absolutely 100% confident when it said you need to be the husband of one wife, it was dealing with polygamy. And so, but I just tell you that where there is forgiveness. And I would never buck our church if the will of the people was not to go that way. You follow me? I'm just telling you, I believe there's restoration and forgiveness. I believe I would review it circumstantially, right? If someone was divorced and they were at no fault, then I see no reason. But again, each church is independent on that decision. You follow me? And it's charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. You don't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not about you. It's not puffed up. I'm telling you, we would do well in our marriages to review this every day. It's not about me. I've said this over and over again. Deb and I have been married 35 years. We haven't had a legitimate argument yet. We have dumb ones. More often than we should, right? I keep telling her, honey, man, you need to... No, but It's not her fault. I mean, on the way to the marriage conference, right? You'd think I'm on my toes. Hey, man, loving you, right? Going to go preach this marriage conference on Saturday night. And, you know, I've got pet peeves. You've got pet peeves, right? So Deb gets in my car. She wants to rearrange it. It's like, leave my car alone. You know, so I don't know what she was rearranging it, you know, but she picked up Damien and Liz's little sticker from my cup holder. She's always, you know, moving my cup holder stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? I know. Get over it, Steve. And so she just picked up this little sticker. And I said, I'm tired of you moving my stuff. And she goes, I was just excited at the sticker. You know, she put it down. And I was like, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. It's a good thing I'm not preaching a marriage conference tonight. And, you know, it's we just need to love one another and not anticipate. You follow me? A lot of my irritation is anticipating what isn't happening. And so love her. Love her unconditionally. Second thing I want you to see is just be kind. And what I want to show you is just with words, right? With words. It is, you know, avoid words that bruise. I don't know if I've shared this. I probably have. Abby is now 25 years old, but I remember when she was 12 years old, I said one sentence to her that was cruel. It was about her weight. It still hurts her today. I've apologized to her over and over. And I can't take it back once I said it. And I love her. And I hurt her. And it bothers me. It's good. I want to keep it in front of me. I don't bring it up anymore. You can only apologize so many times. And I just want her to know that I love her. And so it's, you just can't take them back. Right? 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You want to put a wedge in your marriage, then be unkind with your words. And so run to the next room if you have to. Refrain from hurting your spouse. I will tell you, though, make sure of this. If your spouse hurts you, be willing and ready to forgive. Right? That doesn't mean that, hey, if your spouse is wrong, then you can brood about it. No, you need to have the response of Christ. But each of us as spouses in this room, we need to watch our words. I hope you understand that these are principles that whether you're married or single, they make sense for all of us, right? Second thing, rather than avoiding words that bruise, use words that build, right? And just look at a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 10, it says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Your words can be life unto others. Now, I want to address something. I don't remember if it's in Bible studies or it's here. Have I addressed the word of life movement lately? There is this goofiness that goes around, okay? And you may hear it. And I'm telling you, I've heard Baptists say it. And I'm like, it's when God created the universe, what did he create it with? Words. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There's this movement going on, and I didn't put the verse up there. It distorts a verse in Proverbs that says, our words give life or death. Words can hurt that much. So there's a movement out there that says, hey, when you're saved, you are a child of God. So you have the power to create life with your words. You do not. So there's this movement out there. Have you heard this? You speak it and it will be. No. You don't have that power. Only God does, right? But I will tell you this. So just understand this. If you hear that foolishness, I've heard people say this before. I spoke truth and said, my son will be 6'4" tall. That poor guy is 5'8", man, I'm telling you. You can't do that, right? I mean, the Bible says, can a leopard add it to spots? Can't. You can't add life. You're not God. Just make sure of that. But also, I want you to know this. Our words can build up or destroy. Be careful. Bite your tongue. And of all people in this room, I talk more than anybody in this room probably. And I'm words of affirmation. So the people that, who else is words of affirmation here? Right there is words of affirmation, right there, words of affirmation. Anybody else? It's embarrassing to admit, right? It's such a flaky love language, right? And we only have three people in here that are words of affirmation? All right, well, I mean, so I'm guessing with these three people. Anybody else want to admit that? I can pick on you too. That not only are you good with complimenting people, but man, you can cut them down better than anybody, right? It's a gift that says this. I know words to build because I'm a words guy. I can cut you down faster. It's a curse. And so what I will tell you is, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. And so it is just simply, it's be irrational, be kind, be blind. Be blind. I think there's some stories I've told you that I'm going to skip, but I'll tell you some stories that you haven't heard later. And what I mean by be blind is I want you to look at this Bible verse. Don't let the little things destroy your love. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15 says, take us the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's speaking there within a marriage, within a relationship setting. And it's saying this, the little foxes were known to go into a vineyard and destroy the grapes, the growing grapes, the baby grapes, and they would just destroy them. The little foxes would destroy the growing grapes, and it's the little things that we can just let drive us nuts, right? How many of you ever heard of Elizabeth Elliot? Elizabeth Elliot, godly woman. She's passed on. She's with the Lord today. But Elizabeth Elliot wasn't perfect. Now, she had a bunch of husbands, only because they all died. They all died. I would have been a little hesitant after the fourth one. But it started with Jim Elliot. You know the story of Elizabeth and Jim Elliot with the Aka Indians. But one of her husbands, I don't think it was Jim Elliot, he wanted her to collect aluminum cans. And she was like, no, I'm not collecting aluminum cans. It's dirty. It's nasty. There'll be bugs. There'll be bees. And it caused division within their home and within their marriage. God got a hold of her heart. She said this, my husband wants me to collect aluminum cans. And I think it's stupid. And maybe it is. You know what she decided to do? Collect aluminum cans, rinse them, and honor her husband. She didn't let Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. That's it. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. I knew it was mountain first. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. You understand that? So Elizabeth Elliot did that. I mean, I could tell you this. I mean, Deb and I, 35 years. Multiply somebody with me. 35 years times 365 days. Will you do that for me real quick? 35 times 365. What is that? About 12,000. Just I'm rounding up to 400. About 12,000 days. We've been together about 12,000 days. 11,980 of them. Every night. She likes the sheets tucked in. You know, so I don't like the sheets. You know, I'm a big guy, if you didn't notice. And the sheets tucked in, that's not coming. You know, I don't like the sheets tucked in, so I pull them up every night. You'd think after maybe 5,000 nights, we might get this one down. And so I know it's every time, it's like, oh, here we go again. Did you tear the sheets out? I'm like, why did you tuck them in? You know, and so it's, I don't know how we've compromised. Have we compromised on this? What's that? I'm lying. So, you know, here, okay, I'm lying. So, you know what's so much better? Last night, it was in a church setting, and so, man, she was refuting me. This is her issue. I know what she's going to say. She's going to say that when I get my side, then I rip her side out to it, and I just need to do it more gently. I don't know how super glue she puts these sheets in. Anyway, my point is, don't let little things, mountains become, don't make mountains out of molehills. Don't let mountains become molehills. Make mountains molehills. But don't make a mountain out of a molehill, right? It's the little things. Understand this? Love irrationally. You know, it really came down to this because we have these conversations whenever I do these conferences elsewhere. And so sometimes it's with tears. There were two things that came out. I mean, this is, you have to talk to one another. This is important. Within your marriages, you should talk to one another. And so I really wanted to say, well, what is it? What is it that, and so it's like, I've needed new tires for 6 months and you haven't got me tires. And so I said, well, you could have gotten tires. That's your job. And so guess who's getting 2 brand new tires on the front of her car this week? No, not the rear ones. It's like slip slide, you know, she can handle it. No, she only needs 2. And that she knows that. So don't, every time. No. So she's getting 2 new tires, not 4, you guys. You'll spend my money, my gift cards faster than anything. And so she's going to get those tires, and I've been well-meaning. And it's important to her. It's a big deal to her. And I didn't know that. Right? And then the other thing is, she goes, you guys are so kind, right? I'm going to hide the gift card you get us from now on. I'll be like, what'd they give us? Nothing much. I mean, you know, just because if I tell her where, she'll be like, the church. Church gave us a $100 gift card to Topgolf. That was 2 years ago. We haven't gone to Topgolf. Hopefully it doesn't expire. But guess where we're going tomorrow? Topgolf. Getting tires and Topgolf. I don't have to do anything for 6 months. No. But you know this, I wanted to hear from the heart of my wife, and that was it. You know, I'm just telling you, it's really not that complicated. I will tell you this, is it that complicated to honor the Lord? It's not. We make it like it's the hardest thing in the world. And just do what He says and honor Him. And I'll tell you, I don't think Deb's unusual. She's not overly demanding. We joke about it all the time. But it's love your spouse. It was, Deb took a meal to the Wiggins family yesterday. And it just broke her yesterday when Steve Wiggins hugged her when she left. And he said, hug your husband tight tonight. He doesn't have a wife to hug this. And I think about that. You pray for Amy and her family. This is now where the prayers really matter. She's told us, she said, she felt the hand of God on her. And I thank you for your prayers. She told me about things you've done. She just couldn't brag on you guys enough. And I love hearing about it. You know, anonymous things that were delivered to her house, just food and just the fact that you provided all the food or a lot of the food for the lunch on Friday. But he said, hug your husband a little tighter this week. Hug your spouse a little this week. You know, maybe you go home tonight. What I loved is, when I went there this morning, is people told me, they said, we talked about what you said last night. They said, thank you. And I said, well, it wasn't that splendiferous, but just have a good conversation with your spouse. Be vulnerable and say, hey, what would you like me to do? And just maybe this, so you know, it's a pastor friend recently, he said, yeah, I had these 2 men come up to me and they said, Pastor, we have some issues. And there were 33 items on the list. No, start with 5, okay? No more than 5, not 33. Not 33 items. But just have open conversation. Love your spouse. Second thing I want you to see is enjoy. And so we do that, enjoy your spouse. And I want to take you, look at Revelation chapter 2. Can you see that okay? Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to show you another verse in just a second. Revelation chapter 2, to me, is totally, this describes me. And so, with my relationship with my wife. Now, this is Christ in the church. Look at this. He says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted. Now I'm telling you, if we stop there, would you say, I'm joining that church? They're doing some things. They're working hard at it. They're working hard at it. They're laboring. They're not fainting. They have patience. And maybe you're doing that in your marriage. You're working hard. You're working hard in life. You know, when you got the little munchkins running around, it's just dominating, right? I forgot how dominating little kids were until Elliot. It's like this. Whoa! Hello? You know, can you do anything on your own? No. Okay, all right, come on over here. You know, but it's just dominating. Mommy, mommy, mommy. I mean, I'll tell you, did I tell you this about Elliot? This is really cool. Here's what she does. Anybody else have this? She'll go, mommy, 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 Rachel! Because you know what you respond with? You respond with your name. And Rachel will go, I'm not responding to that. You know, I encourage her. I'm like, ah! And she'll go, Rachel! Mommy, 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 mommy. It's like, whoa, you got that name down until she pays attention to her, right? So I know you're working hard. And so I don't want you to leave discouraged. So I want you to know this. But here's, what was the criticism of Ephesus? This would be the criticism of me, I think, in my marriage. I'm working hard. I'm trying to serve the Lord. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And I think this sounds like Deb. No, in some ways, I don't mean to. I love my wife. She's awesome. And she acknowledges the things that she loves about me, and she loves a lot about me. And you're gonna see this, right? When I talk about love and joy, right? It's because that's where we're at, right? We're at enjoy your spouse. Let me just say this. You know what the difference between love and enjoy is? I call it this, loving versus liking. Your spouse knows if you don't like them. Just telling you. My wife likes me. That's a shock, right? I mean, not everything's right. That means the world to me. I would know if she didn't like me. Deb's committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she will love me sacrificially. The fact that she likes me and enjoys being with me it means the world to me. But here's what it says here. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What does God say? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. And so I want you to be focused on, you see, do you see the connection with the Lord Jesus Christ? We can be busy, 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 working hard, serving the Lord, being patient, and not enjoying Him. You understand? Because we've left our first love. And the Lord knows that. We have so many distractions. But what about your spouse? You want to honor the Lord? Then remember your first love. I mean, when I was dating Deb, I mean, it was like, she had something in her car every single day. I think I told you this before. So most of you know, I used to go to Kings Island a lot. Well, have you guys heard the Kings Island stories? No, so I used to go all the time. So I could make $1,000 a day selling stuffed animals. I could win them. I would take a $20 bill, and there were certain games I could win every time. I had spent so much money, right? So I would have a wad of $1,000 after a while. I think I was hanging around criminals after a while. So I was like, how you doing this? What's your name? Luigi. I don't know who they were, but so I could go to Kings Island. Here's what it was. You know, you remember, they don't have these games anymore. The milk jug, you'd get 3 balls, and if you make one, you get a little one, break even. Sell those for $1 in like 5 seconds. For all the people that tried to win, you know, I just walk around. They think I'm working for Kings Island. Hey, would you like to buy a stuffed animal today? These are $1, these are $6, these are $3, these are $6, $10, whatever. I can't remember what I did. And so you make two, $6, 600% profit. You make 3 out of 3, that's a $10 one. I'm telling you, I would run out, these grandparents that just got ripped off, you know, they would buy them. I'd say, oh, I'll go get you some more. And I'd go play the games. They had the same game by the racer that they had by the beast. They had 2 of them. So when I ran out of my limit, you know, and here's what they do at Kings Island, they would always rotate people, so when I showed up again, they wouldn't know I had the limit. And so the football toss, I mean, I could tell you, you know, don't do the football toss like a football, do it like from the side of your hip, and I go straight in, win every time. Anyway, so I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stuffed animals. So one time she went on vacation, she came back, and her entire room was filled with a couple hundred stuffed animals, and I didn't pay a dime. And I mean, you talk about eating well, you know? I mean, it was, but I would leave her notes. I mean, it was, and I loved every minute about it. And she was the pinnacle of my day. Had long days. I would work 7 to 10, go to school 10:30 to 2, work 2:30 to 5:30, go to school 6 to 9. I'd see it hurt 9:30. She'd have to go to bed. She was still in high school. She wouldn't marry me in 11th grade. I don't know why. And so her dad would be up, and he's a night owl, and you go, we'd play video games there through the night. My mother-in-law, you know, she'd stand up at the top of the steps, and she'd go, Steve Hall, go home. She wanted her husband back. And but I loved being with her, and I still love being with her. But I need to ignite that passion again. And remember this, I didn't marry her because I don't like her. I married her because I loved her. I married her because I enjoyed her. And I'm telling you this, I need to remember this. You know why? Who am I the meanest to in this room? Well, Sandra, what in the world are you doing? You're right, Sandra. I'm just teasing with you. You know, that's so terrible. That's so terrible. I did that last night too. Somebody said that. I'll be like, who have you been? You know, so it's true. And so you know this? Who do I love more than anybody in this room? My wife. And so what I want to do is, see, if I attach it to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will love her more. I want to show you a Bible verse here. And this is, it's going to get a little uncomfortable here, but I'm going to keep it G-rated. Okay? Last night, when I have these meetings with these spouses, it's not. I don't say inappropriate words, but I'm very blunt. Proverbs 5:18 says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That's the verse I use to have enjoy, right? And so I want you to know this. How many know what Proverbs 5:19 is? That was last night. Okay, later, go look it up, and then you'll be really upset. Don't look it up now. I'll be in so much trouble if you guys do. All right? But I want to tell you this. You want to enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. There is a responsibility physically. I'm going to show you. Enjoyment includes the physical relationship as well. And I believe it's an issue of obedience. And so I want to show you this. This is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. And so it does get a little uncomfortable here, because I will tell you, one of the shocks as I've become a pastor, and it's not necessarily in our church, you just become much more aware of marriages that do not have a physical relationship. That is called sin. So I'm going to try to speak in a little bit of code here. So once a month is rebellion. Once a week is not enough. Comprehende? Okay? And so I want to help you with that. You need to have this conversation with your spouse and talk to your spouse and say, am I meeting your needs? You understand? The Lord will use this as a wedge. I mean, the devil will use this as a wedge in your relationship. And so you need to have this conversation with your spouse. And I'll tell you this, if your spouse has the courage to have the conversation, be kind, but be clear. I want to show you in this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right? It says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. As it says in verse 1, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. So the Bible says, you know, it'd be good, don't touch a woman. But you can't keep your hands to yourself. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence. Now you need to meet the needs of the wife, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. You go back and study that. That's talking about the physical relationship in marriage. The only time that the physical relationship in marriage should be interrupted is when you're fasting and praying, and you should communicate that to your spouse. It's an issue. 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Had a couple in their 80s. They came to me. An 80-year-old woman, 80-something. said, I'm divorcing this. And I'm almost like, oh. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And then when I heard why, she goes, he's not meeting my needs. And I still, you know, a little clueless after a while. And so when she explained it, I'm like, oh, well, okay. And he starts weeping. He didn't know. He had issues and was embarrassed and just totally neglected the physical relationship. She really didn't want a divorce. She just wanted to get his attention so he would take care of her. Everything turned around. He began to take care of her, and he enjoyed life. You need to have that conversation with your spouse. I'm not making it about this. You understand this? But this is real. It is. Here's what the Bible says. Take care of each other, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. I'm also going to say this. There is no excuse for anybody to be unfaithful if their spouse isn't meeting their needs. That's not what this verse is talking about. You honor the Lord. I always view it in this situation. What if you were single? You need to honor the Lord. You understand that? But I'm here to tell you, it's clear in the Bible that if you want to honor God, you will meet the needs of your spouse. Now, before we get people too angry, here's the issue. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You've now heard tonight, and I don't think this is new news to anybody. But you suppress it in your own mind. And I don't know of anybody that is. You follow me? I'm not there. I'm not worrying about it. I just know this well enough. It exists in abundance within Christianity. That's really my world, okay? I'm telling you this. Have that conversation. There might be some tears. But I really believe that when you're right with God and you're right with each other, you'll see this, right? So enough said. You got my point? I want you guys to talk about this. I want you guys to talk about, am I meeting your needs? I'm not even just, I mean, the fact that, you know, she's getting two new tires and we're going to Topgolf tomorrow, right? That was a big deal for me. And so I'm like, okay, is that it? I mean, because I already emptied the dishwasher, right? I mean, that is like amazing. She's trained me well. I emptied the dishwasher. I actually make Crystal Light now. I mean, you know, I know you guys are going to think, you know, Warren Buffett said this, you know, he's been married over 70 years. Warren Buffett's the richest man in the world. And they asked him, they said, Mr. Buffett, what's the key to a long-lasting marriage? He said, marry someone that has low expectations. You know, her mind wasn't fully developed. She was 19 years old. And so it was good. But Deb I want to tell you, ladies, you can talk to my wife and she will not share anything about to me, right? There's lines that we say, no, I'm not interested in knowing. You talk to her. You're not happy with this part of the conversation, you talk to her. She'll walk you through the scriptures. And so here's what I want to tell you this. You may say this, I don't like the physical relationship. Learn to enjoy it. How many of you love your first Bible study you had with somebody? I love Bible studies now. I hated the bus route. You've heard my testimony until God got a hold of my heart. I've never enjoyed any part of ministry at the first. I don't advocate drinking alcohol, but every single person I've met, only one person that said this, every person that drinks alcohol, I said, did you like it the first time? And like, no, it's not. And so there was such peer pressure that they're like, I'm gonna like this taste. And they like nasty then. What God has created is not nasty. What God has created is beautiful, lovely, glorious, wonderful, and it was intended for enjoyment between a husband and a wife. Love your spouse, enjoy your spouse. In fact, you're going to get the same cutoff that I had next week, next Sunday night. I'll talk about the last two. I'll talk about submitting and studying your spouse. And so talk to your spouse. One of the coolest things this morning, I think I told you this, was the number of couples that came to me this morning and said, we had a conversation last night. Last night's marriage retreat was not at a hotel, and they said this. They said, now we understand why it would have been better to be at a hotel, so we would have just been isolated and able to call. Love the Lord. Why would you ever be uncomfortable if God commands it? We ought to do it, and it's for our benefit. Love the Lord. Love your spouse. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy your spouse. Let's pray.